This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new season of Real Time with Bill Maher begins Friday, February 18th on HBO. We invited Bill Maher to join us again and talk about some of the things he's been thinking about over the past few months in between seasons. Maher is one of the most outspoken and controversial political humorists working today. On each edition of his show, he opens with a satirical sketch, interviews politicians and activists from all sides, and moderates a roundtable of very opinionated people from the worlds of politics and entertainment. He doesn't pull his punches, and neither do his guests, even when they're taking aim at him. His final show of the previous season was right after the election. Maher interviewed Alan Simpson, former Republican senator from Wyoming. Maher congratulated Simpson for being on the winning team and asked what the blue staters, such as himself, don't get about the red states. Simpson started by explaining that he's pro-choice and opposes a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage.
The constitutional amendment I thought was inappropriate. I work diligently with the Republican Unity Coalition, which is a group of gay, straight Republicans who are very active. I've always been involved in that. Well, yeah, but that's making fun of people. I'll tell you where you missed the point.
I'm just trying to get her invited to a party.
I know. You're making fun of Americans who have some religious bent or a faith. Mm. Keep doing that, and your people will never win an election, because whether you and I like it or not, this is the only country on the face of the earth that was founded because of religious persecution and a belief in God. That's why they left Europe. So keep making fun of them. Keep making fun of the gays and the lesbians, pulling people in, tearing people up, thinking that Hollywood has all the brains in America, from people who are making millions of bucks on one movie and telling the rest of the people and making fun of them, and you'll never make it. Never make it.
To quote the president, I'm getting a mixed message from you, Senator. I mean, either I'm making fun of the religious people or I'm making fun of the gay people. I can't be doing both, can I?
Well, you just made a little crack. You know, it was funny, you know, party. You know, those are little cracks. Those are smart little cracks about the gay, lesbian people.
Senator, are you yourself gay? Because, I mean, I have not heard anybody be this sensitive about a gay joke since Harvey Firestein.
Well, keep telling them. You keep telling them. I think they're offensive.
I will keep telling them.
You keep telling them.
All right.
Bill Maher, when that happened on the last episode of last season's Real Time with Bill Maher, what were you thinking when Alan Simpson was saying this to you? What was going through your mind? You looked really stunned and almost at a loss for words, which you never are.
Well, I hadn't heard that in a while, so it's almost new to me. No, I let him have his say. I don't think I was at a loss. I was just waiting for him. I was being polite. I was trying to hold my fire till he... First of all, what he was saying was so fascinating to me, because I don't understand this chip on the shoulder that the winning side had. I understand a sore loser. I don't understand a sore winner. So I don't know. All I could think of is he must have got up on the wrong side of the ranch that day, because I really, listening back to that, hadn't said anything that I understood would be provocative to somebody. And for, you know, for someone sitting in Wyoming to be lecturing us on making jokes about the gays, I mean, I can understand making jokes. Yes, he's right. I do make fun of religion, and I will continue to make fun of religion because I think it's destructive and a waste of our time and energy. But, I've been very supportive of the gay movement, and most of the people in states like Wyoming have not. That's where the problem for the gays is coming from, is people who believe in religion. Gay marriage would not be an issue, except the Bible says it's a no-no for homosexuality to even exist in this world. Because, you know, if you boil Jesus' message down, it was, I hate tolerance.
when something like this happens, it's like this little blowout with Alan Simpson, do you feel like your humor is misunderstood, or that you're not being clear enough, or, you know, what goes through your mind about your humor when this kind of thing happens?
Well, my humor is definitely misunderstood by a large part of the country who normally don't watch my shows. That's a given. You know, if it was understood by the majority, then I'd have the ratings of American Idol. But but then what I would be saying would be so watered down and pandering and stupid, I couldn't live with myself and I couldn't look at the face I was shaving.
One of the things Alan Simpson said to you is, keep making fun of people with a religious bent and you'll never win an election. A few minutes after that, you introduced Andrew Sullivan on your panel, and Andrew Sullivan is a conservative Republican who is also Catholic and gay, and he's written extensively about all of these things. And let me play a little bit of what Andrew Sullivan said to you.
Well, Bill, congratulations to you, because you did your bit to help George Bush win the election, and so did the entire Hollywood left, who galvanize people in the middle of the country who are tired of being patronized, condescended to, and demeaned. I mean, if you want...
Have you been hanging out with Senator Simpson?
No.
How come this election got to be my fault?
No.
Of course it's not. Amazing to me.
You just did it. You just made an assertion that someone who believes in Jesus has no legitimacy.
No, in a political discussion.
In a political discussion, yes. No, they do in a political discussion, as long as...
Okay.
And let me explain why. Because someone's religious faith can lead them to have moral ideas and moral purpose.
Or not.
And that, or not, yes. But to deny that part of the country a voice, to say that they are illegitimate, and then expect them to vote
illegitimate,
for you...
Illegitimate, they won.
No, but the reason they won partly was because people are tired of being demeaned. Don't demean people and expect them to vote for you.
Okay, that was Andrew Sullivan on Bill Maher's show. Bill Maher, do you feel like it's your fault that the Democrats lost the election?
Yes, and I'm proud. No, it's a silly argument that they're making. There's a billboard that I understand is going up here in Hollywood. Some right-winger is taking out a billboard that pictures a lot of the liberals who worked for the election of Senator Kerry and is thanking them for electing President Bush. Again, that attitude of the sore winner. You know, it's not enough to win. You got to stick a finger in the other guy's eye and say, you see, you get it now. I've heard a lot of that on radio and television the last few months. You get it, liberals, you get it. No, it wasn't a problem that we didn't get it. We just don't agree. This nonsense about morals and values. Do you see? What I see is people who confuse morals and values with traditions and rituals. I have morals and values, and lots of people do who don't believe in religion, like me, or people who don't even believe in God, which I sort of do. But even if you don't, you can be moral and you can have values. This morals values crowd has got to get their definition straight. They got to relearn what morals and values are. They're things like kindness and fairness and generosity and compassion. The things their big champion, Jesus Christ, talked about. He never talked about homosexuality, not even once. But apparently that's number one on their agenda.
Well, now that you lost the election for the Democrats single-handedly,
yes.
do you think Kerry should run again, or do you think that...
Nope.
Uh-huh.
Well, unless he changes, unless he learns, I think he did not represent his party well. Neither did Al Gore the previous election. I think when historians look back at these two elections against George W. Bush, they'll see pretty much the same guy, which was a tragedy in a way. I think in both cases you had candidates who were very bright, who were very capable leaders, but I do understand the doubt in people's minds as to what kind of leaders they would have been because they didn't run effective campaigns. And by effective, what I mean is they did not challenge the president on key issues. Where was the environment in this election? Where was the drug war in this election? Where was the use of the word incompetent? John Kerry, talking about Iraq, never used the word incompetent. If I was the candidate, I would have built the whole case around that, because he certainly didn't build the case that he would have done anything very differently. And I noticed after the State of the Union speech, the Democrats still haven't learned that. Their big rebuttal was, we have to train Iraqi troops faster. Yeah, no kidding. That's what we're trying to do. That's what the Bush administration is all about. Of course they want to train Iraqi troops so we can get out of there. That's just common sense. So if you're not going to differentiate on how you would handle Iraq, then what you have to do is say that this administration, and there's plenty of evidence to support it, has just bungled the job as badly as you possibly could. And John Kerry didn't make that case.
So it sounds like you're pretty unimpressed with the whole Democratic Party right now and how they're handling things?
Very unimpressed. Very disappointed. They just don't know how to fight this guy. And apparently they believe the nonsense that swing voters don't like it when you attack the president. Well, swing voters didn't seem to mind it when the president attacked a war hero and basically called him a coward and a war criminal. Apparently that wasn't too rough for the swing voters. But God forbid that you get in George Bush's face and mention the Abu Ghraib prison scandal. That didn't come up in the debates. You know that phrase they use, the issues that are important to me? Well, the issues that are important to me are things like the environment and how we went into Iraq. I wasn't even completely opposed to the war. I didn't think it was the right thing to do. But you know what? When George Bush presented, I went, you know what? It could work. I'm 60-40. That's what I kept saying. I'm 60-40. I'm 60 against it, but let's see. And now that they've had an election over there, it actually looks better. Looks like it could work. But I think the lesson there is that, yes, freedom is a very, very strong, powerful force. In fact, it's so strong and powerful, it might even work when you've screwed up the situation as badly as you possibly could, and it still could work.
My guest is Bill Maher. The new season of Real Time with Bill Maher begins next week on HBO. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is political humorist Bill Maher. His show Real Time with Bill Maher starts its new season next week on HBO. Let me change over to the Super Bowl here. Did you watch the Super Bowl or at least the halftime show?
I watched the halftime show. And when Paul McCartney started to sing the lyrics to Get Back, I mean, I've heard this song a million times in my life, beginning when I was 12 or 13 or something. And only in this dumbass country would you pause when he came to the lyrics about sweet Loretta Martin thought she was a woman, but she was another man.
You know, that went something, right past something. Me, of course.
But then she gets it while she can. And, you know, I've heard that a million times and it never, and I thought, oh my God, what's going to happen? He was just talking about a transvestite nymphomaniac. The whole world's going to go crazy. Of all the lyrics to think of, Paul. But that's just where we are culturally.
Speaking of language, did it surprise you when Senator Alan Simpson used the full word for BS on your show?
No, you know, that's Alan Simpson. He always was a straight shooter. I was trying to give him that compliment before he went off on me. But he was always that kind of a guy. And what's wrong with that word? That's a perfectly necessary good word.
But it's a word that I'm not sure you could say on network TV. Broadcast TV as opposed to cable,
that's one of the few that's still on that list. But that will change, too, over time. Not this year, not next year, but as I've pointed out before, I was the first person on network TV to use the word sucks. I think the context was the airport sucks in 1983 on The Tonight Show. And after the show, they all were like ashen faced and they couldn't believe it. And nobody complained. The switchboard didn't light up. It didn't seem to matter. And 3 days later, Johnny used it. So that's how it happens, you know? I mean, when I started in TV, you couldn't say so many of the words that are extremely common all over broadcast television. And the words that are really dirty words, you know they're saying anyway these days, and they just bleep them out.
So do you know what your new season's going to be like? What the first show will be like?
I can't because I don't know what's going to happen in the world, but I certainly am anxious to talk about some of the things that have gone on since we've been off the air, which I guess our last show was November 5th of last year. So, you know, we have Social Security and we have the Michael Jackson trial and we have a different world in Iraq. You know, I think that's a tough one for a lot of liberals and Democrats, Iraq, because, you know, Bush finally won one. And a lot of what he's been saying about freedom and how powerful, well, that doesn't look like such sentimental mere rhetoric anymore. And you have to work from the facts. I always say that. I've said that so many times. You can't work backwards from I hate Bush to now how are we going to find the reason why this is bad? This isn't bad. This is good. I've said that also. It was Bush's war, but it's America's peace. I'm thrilled that the election went well in Iraq. And these ideas that Bush has been presenting in his inaugural and in his State of the Union message about freedom, they're not new ideas. They're not his ideas. And so we shouldn't react to them like, oh, Bush is for freedom, so we're against. No, remember, we're for freedom. He was basically redoing John F. Kennedy's inaugural speech. Now, when John F. Kennedy said, pay any price, bear any burden, he was speaking to a generation that had paid any price and would bear any burden, as he himself did in World War II. This president, when he says basically the same thing, I don't know about that. When he says to, these countries, if you stand for liberty, we will stand with you. What is he talking about there? That sounds like he's doing what his father did in 91 when he incited the Kurds and the Shiites in the South to rise up and then didn't wind up helping them. This guy cannot write a check that he can't cover, although, let's be honest, writing checks he can't cover is pretty much the story of his life.
Do you mind changing your opinion, like if you oppose the war in Iraq, but now you think, you know, but this election was a good thing? Do you mind having to publicly amend an opinion?
Not at all. I always say, you know, one reason I'm glad I'm not a politician is a politician isn't allowed to change his mind, because if you change your mind, then you're flip-flopping.
Right.
Then you're not resolute. But events change, and you have to go with, facts have to come first. The fact is that election was a very positive thing. The fact is that it didn't even matter what they were voting for. It was a hands across Iraq. It was a demonstration by those people that they wanted a real country, that they didn't want the insurgents, they didn't want the violence, that they didn't want, they didn't like us there as an occupying army, but it wasn't like they were on the side of the insurgents. Like in Vietnam, the Viet Cong had a lot more sympathy among the population than these insurgents do. So that was a very positive statement that those people made, and I think it's going to be big, because I think it lifted the morale. The people saw that they were all, they needed to see each other. They needed to see the other people down the block coming out of their homes too. Oh wow, we're all going to do this together. This is how we think. This is the majority now. So the momentum and the morale is now on the side of the people who came out to vote, and the insurgents look like what they are, which is people who lost.
You know, getting back to your show, when the clip that we opened with Alan Simpson talking to you, one of the things that he said later in the interview is that, you know, he was talking to you long distance and with only a headpiece, and he'd hear the audience applauding or cheering, and he found it very distracting, and he was afraid, well, you know, you got an audience that's going to be against him. And I know you've tried to stop people from applauding or cheering. Why does that bother you? You fail. I mean, people are very demonstrative in the audience on your show. But why would you prefer that they didn't cheer a lot?
Because it's boring. First of all, two reasons. One, it's just boring for the home audience. When I'm watching television at home, there's way, way, way too much studio cheering, for my taste anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just boring, and nothing's going on when people are cheering. Yes, it's very exciting to be in the studio. It's very exciting when you're at David Letterman's show. But for the people at home, it's not that exciting. We're in bed, okay? That's number one. Number two, and I'm glad you brought this up because this is a good place to mention this. I am adamant this year about getting conservative audiences. I am throwing down the gauntlet there. Because we've tried to do this before, because I think it's very unfair for our conservative guests to have to come on. They have a legitimate gripe. Now, we can't help it that we live in a very blue city, in a very blue state, So obviously the people who are going to come into the studio and want tickets are mostly liberals. But it's very unfair. I would not want to go into a studio, and I have on occasion, where it's a completely conservative audience, and everything I say, they're going to judge harshly and boo and look on askance and applaud and cheer everything that the other guy says. That's not right. So we have tried to get a conservative audience before, and they don't want to come. And this year, I'm going to make a thing out of it. If they don't want to come, then it's going to be on them. I'll do a show for nobody. I'll put it out there. You know what? We tried to get a conservative audience. Here's who showed up. So don't complain anymore.
You can take out ads on the Heritage Foundation website?
Come on. The studio only contains 300 seats or something like that. You're telling me that there's not 300 conservatives in all of Southern California? Believe me, they exist. And if they don't want to come and cheer on the conservative guests we have on our show, then they're, again, just being sore winners.
Well, welcome back to Friday Nights.
Thank you. Glad you're going to be there.
Thanks a lot for talking with us.
My pleasure as always, Terry.
Bill Maher's HBO series, Real Time with Bill Maher, starts its new season Friday, February 18th. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.